Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is for K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks so much for listening to us today. It's going to be a good show. We've got Brian Stewart here today. He's the author of a new book. It's called Barron's Digital SAT Digital. I want to say this the right way. Barron's Digital SAT Study Guide Premium. Okay, it's all about the how to take and do well in study for the digital SATs, which is a different animal. And believe me, it's been a long time since I took the SATs. In my day, they were only called the SAs because the T hadn't been invented yet. And that's a long way to go for a bad joke, okay? But it's been a long time. So Brian's going to be with us. He's the founder and president of BWS Education Consulting, Inc. That's a tutoring and test prep company, and he's nationally recognized test prep expert. This is going to be a great show, okay? He actually got a perfect score on the SAT. We're going to talk to him about that. He could have given me, okay, he got a 1,600. He could have given me 800 of the points and still got into any school he wanted. But we'll talk about that, okay, over the course of the next 45 minutes or so with Brian. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. Everything we do is over there, and everything we do is free. So please go read our new magazine, a new issue of the magazine, which is called Equity and Access. You'll see the cover. Just click on it, a beautiful issue this month. Okay, we put our awards program, our excellent, it's in Equity Awards. There's an icon there. We ask you to nominate yourself, companies you work with, your colleagues, et cetera, et cetera. You'll see all the categories. All right, plus we have all the podcasts like this one over at ace-ed.org. And without further ado and me blabbing here, it's Larry here. Good morning once again. Brian Stewart.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the very nice intro. That was great. Thank you.
Are you kidding me? You're welcome, man. I know you live in Columbus, Ohio. I'm just curious, is there any kind of football program there that you know about?
A little bit, yeah.
Is there one?
Slight interest in football around here. I have a distant relative who played for Ohio State football, and he was a walk-on when you could still do that, and he actually went on to be a captain and win the Rose Bowl. This was back in the 1920s, but
So that means that they will possibly build you a statue. Okay, in downtown park in Columbus. Would this correct? Would that be
Who
correct?
Who knows? You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never knew. Yep. Brian, tell us about your company, okay, BWS Education Consulting. And let me just start it off by saying, do you just work in the Ohio area, or do you work all over the country?
Yeah, we work primarily in person in Ohio, but then we work with students all over the country. We've tutored students all over the United States, and we have some international clients with online tutoring. That's made it really easy to connect with people. And so I've been doing this about 20 years, and we mainly do ACT and SAT test preparation, and then also college essay advising as well. Yeah.
And by the way, it's B. I have it linked here, but it's BWS, like Brian.
That's
W.
right.
BWSEducationConsulting.com, everybody. BWSEducationConsulting.com. You're welcome. Okay. And, I'm curious. I got to ask you this, okay? And how did you learn to do this? What are you? What's your background to learn how to get kids? It's an odd question, but I'm really curious because I was a teacher, but I couldn't teach people how to take the SATs. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, so what I did was when I was in high school, I did quite well on the test just when I was there. I just had a knack for doing it. Then I became a high school teacher and started doing some of the test preparation just as a side gig, and then it kept growing through word of mouth and eventually decided to do it full time. So it was really a lot of trial and error, seeing what students need, and there may have been with things that they missed in school, if they had certain gaps in their knowledge, grammar knowledge, math knowledge, and then trying to fill that in through the tutoring. Yeah.
Well, good for you, man. I, 'cause, you know, and again, taking the SATs is a specialty. Okay, I did horrible. And I have to say, okay, and I want you to talk about this. They were not a good measure of the way I did in college. Okay, I did very well in college, but I did absolutely horrible on the SATs. Okay, and you must hear that a lot. Okay, and just what's the relationship between the two? And let me ask it a different way. We're going to get into the digital stuff in your new book, but why take the? Well, tell me about this. Why is this happening? Is that a?
There definitely can be a disconnect. And I think the way to look at it is it can be a very useful metric for some students, but maybe it's not the best for others. So students I've worked with where it can be particularly helpful, I've had some students where they had an extended illness, maybe for an entire semester, their grades dropped, and they just don't have the grades to show the college what they can do. And then if they can go and take the SAT, do well, and show that to colleges, that can just get them out of into a different level of recognition. Now, if you have a student who has amazing grades, amazing extracurriculars, for someone like that, the test score wouldn't be as important. But for someone who may not have the opportunity to be as involved in extracurricular activities, who maybe had a bad semester, goofed off in a class or something, it can be a great way to show that they're ready for college. Yeah.
Good answer. And so, all right, I remember, and again, this is back, as my standing joke, they were called the SAs then, because the letter T hadn't been invented. It was so long ago. Okay. They were using, cuneiform to do the test. We had to answer it with a little hammer on clay. Okay. And a long time ago, but I still remember, okay, again, taking my little number two pencil or whatever. I think I did, got that right. And we would go to, I grew up in Philly, we'd go to a specified place. All of us would check in. There'd be a proctor there. Okay. And it was timed and all that sort of stuff. Okay. Now, okay, and this is key. I guess they're still doing that to some extent, but now, okay, this is what we're talking about here. It's digital. Can you do it at home? What's that mean?
So the College Board briefly tried right when COVID hit with the AP exams. They tried doing an at-home version of that, and it didn't go quite as well. So they were just trying to do something because students had prepared for these AP exams, and they wanted to give them an opportunity to do the exam. Yeah, and so this will not be at home. This will be either administered at a school, and students can do it. Yeah, it can be done during the school day, or it will be administered on certain test dates throughout the year, and just at a testing center. So yeah, a couple different options for students. Yeah.
So I got to ask you this. So theoretically, if a kid wants to take a digital SAT, and I'll just maybe you can help me here. You set it up with your guidance counselor. I'll do it on next Thursday. Can you arrange for me to do it in your office, Mr. Smith, and they can take the digital SAT there like that?
Yeah. Well, some students have already been doing that to some extent if they have accommodations because they have say like ADHD, dyslexia, and they get to take the test over multiple days. They are already setting up the test to do with their guidance counselor. But the flexibility of the digital SAT will be really nice where schools will have that freedom to say, all right, we're not going to take the entire day off to do the test for everybody. They could probably do that if they wanted, but they could say, all right, we're going to have this group of students do it this day, this other group of students do it another day. So perhaps it wouldn't be as disruptive for the school. So I think when they design this, they're really trying to make it easier for it to be implemented so students can have the opportunity to take it. And I think a big part of that is just it's a shorter test as well, just taking a little over 2 hours instead of taking most of a school day to complete.
Oh, that's good. I like that right off the bat. Okay. So I have to ask this, okay? What's the difference in prep? All right, and this is what you're an expert on. Again, you're the author for Barron's Digital SAT Study Guide.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a different test than if it wasn't digital? Why are we concerned about the word digital? Maybe that's what I'm questioning.
Sure.
What's different?
So,
yeah.
There are a couple of major ways that it will change the testing. One will be there are tools embedded in the testing program. Like something a lot of students I talk to like about this is they have a Desmos calculator. So it's built in. If you forgot your calculator, no worries.
Have
this really nice calculator built in. So there are also other tools like you can annotate text if you want. You can flag questions if you want. So I think part of the prep is getting students familiar with those online tools so they can use those. And another big thing that's different is the test is adaptive. So that's something they wouldn't be able to do in a paper version of the test. But the way it works is you'll start off with a reading-writing section that's of about moderate difficulty. And depending on how you do on that, you then go to a harder level or you go to an easier level. So that's a big change in the way it's done, and that's why.
How does that help a college? Let me throw it on the other side here. How does a college ascertain where that kid is? In other words, did they get a I'll say an 800 on an easier test than another kid who got a 600 on a much harder test? How's that all work out in college admissions mind?
A big thing that College Board has been working on the past couple of years is showing through research that the scores from the current SAT, the paper one, would be equivalent to what students would have on the digital SAT. So the test would not be worthwhile to colleges if you had a test section that's a test score that didn't equate to the same score. So just to give you an example, when I did AP test grading back in the day, they had a question with an essay that asked about South Asia. And a lot of students thought Vietnam was part of South Asia. And so students bombed that. They wanted to look more the way they were defining it for the test was looking at the Indian subcontinent. So what happened was the curve for that question was massively adjusted, and you could do a lot worse and still have a really good score. And that's a similar thing what they do with the SAT. They do a process called equating, where they look at how students perform and they adjust the curve a little bit to see how see how difficult the test is. And if you happen to have a tougher test that day, then often the curve becomes more generous, and if it's a little easier, maybe the curve is not as generous. Yeah, so they evaluate that on the back end, and that's part of the reason it takes a little time to get the scores back to make sure that everything is equal there. Yeah,
I'm glad they're doing all this, and I did not know they were doing all this. This is very interesting, and I must ask this, and we all know this next statement: some high schools are better than others. Okay, some high schools
that's
are
for
much
sure.
well
yeah.
well resourced. Yep. How do the SATs take that into consideration? We're talking about equity right across the board. You don't want kids to be denied a good college because they didn't have the chance in high school, but they have all the brains to do well at a Harvard or a Yale or a Brown or a Williams or whatever. I'm using the East Coast schools. So there's good ones in the South and the West too. Let me make that point. But go ahead. Okay. Yeah. How do they measure that?
So I think a big thing they're trying to do is to identify those students who maybe have aptitude with grammar, with reading, with math, but maybe even if they didn't have the most, the best instructional opportunities, maybe they didn't have AP classes, IB classes, they could still do well. So what you notice in the test design is they don't have a lot of obscure concepts that you would have to memorize. And sometimes when I've seen students who go to like a really selective private school, they sometimes overthink questions because they look at it and say, I go to XYZ school. I should know how to do this. When what they really need to do is figure it out, look at what's given to them, make sense of it. So there's a big emphasis on math like Algebra 1, Algebra 2. There's no calculus on there. Not every school has calculus. They have shorter reading passages from a wide variety of genres. You don't have to have any specific background knowledge on the topics. So, it gives students who may have that ability the opportunity to show what they can do. So I am, I'll put it this way, when I prepared students in the past for a couple different versions of the SAT, they had questions that were more, like logic puzzles, and, you know, there was a guessing penalty, so you had to think, okay, do you guess on questions or not?
Yeah.
So you had a big conversation about that. So they've streamlined it so they don't have a lot of those things that, you know, if you had access to, tutoring, test prep, that you would know, and if you didn't have access to it, you'd be in trouble. So it's a much cleaner, more straightforward test in its current form. So,
I'm asking you a million questions. I'm going to get into your book and all that stuff, but I have to ask you this.
Yeah.
In this day and age, okay, every kid knows all the resources that are available to them on the internet or a library or whatever. All right. And, you know, we used to take a test and they'd say, clear your desk. Okay. But my standing joke is no company has ever said to their marketing director, I need a new marketing plan. Clear your desk. Okay. We want people to use all the resources, okay, that they can to come up with the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on the digital test, obviously you're on a computer, all right? And can you access resources to help you answer the question, which might be an odd question from my part, but I think it's important to understand that. How does that work? They're on a computer.
Yeah. So one nice feature of the test, let's say someone has forgotten geometry formulas, trigonometry formulas, there's a built-in formula sheet throughout the math that students can click on to memorize, you know, to look up formulas they may have forgotten.
So that's a really
nice resource.
And fortunately, the
questions are designed so the information you need is right there. Like a popular type of question that I think is really cool will be questions about determining the appropriate evidence for a claim. So it would be something like, here is a study, like the summary of a study that these researchers have done, and they claim that this scientific result, and then the question would be, what would support this claim? What would hurt this claim? And so students have to think about, okay, well, evidence here,
good.
I need to figure out what would support it. And so it's not like the answer would be in a particular resource. It's more like the thought process of figuring that out, which, let's face it, there's so much information out there. Being able to figure out what information is, you know, useful is based on facts and what things could hurt certain claims is going to be such a good skill for students to have in this day and age. Yeah.
You know, obviously the world is changing, okay, and we've got to keep up with this. Are there still paper SATs?
Yeah. So
do they still exist?
Yeah. So this year, for students in the United States, they will still be able to do the current paper form of the SAT. And then international students are already doing the digital format. And then next year, starting in March, it will transition to digital for everybody, unless you have a specific accommodation, which it would be pretty rare to get, where you would get to take a paper-based version. So if someone has some learning situation or medical situation where they can't do it on the computer, then they would be able to take a paper version of the test. And since it wouldn't be adaptive, it would be a little longer for those students. But, yeah, they would have that opportunity if they need to.
And I remember the proctor in my day had a whole box of sharpened number 2 pencils, or those big black pencils that were perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But who's responsible for bringing the computer and that's the tool you need. So is there a testing center?
Yeah.
Does the school have to provide 45 for whatever computers, or do the kids bring their own, or what? How's that?
So what would be ideal is if students can bring a computer they have. A lot of students now don't even have textbooks. They'll have like a Chromebook, or they'll have a tablet that they use for their textbooks. And I'm envious of them. I used to have a giant backpack and carry around my textbooks and probably got a little hunched from all that. But now a lot of students just use those. And so if they have that available, they can. Now, what College Board is currently doing is, if you don't have access to a computer yourself, if you request it when you set up your registration, then they'll get you one. Because Yeah. So, and they've been able to do that at international testing centers where, you know, a lot of students right now are taking it in India and other countries. And,
sure.
You know, so they're either bringing their own computers or there's one provided to them. So I'll be interested to see if they make that even easier for students here in the United States, you know, when it rolls out, if maybe it might be possible for there to be some computers ready in case someone forgot or what have you. But
yeah, or if
somebody's
computer breaks down. Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that happens. And if the power goes out, something
yeah.
like that, then the program is such that it will remember where the student was. But what students can do, if they have a Chromebook or you know, iPad or whatever, they can download the Blue Book app in ahead of the testing, and then they're all ready to go. They go in, and then the proctor will, you know, start it for them and get it going, and then they don't have to fill out all those papers ahead of time, and the proctor doesn't have to collect all these booklets, and we
yeah.
don't have to worry about
yeah.
will the booklet get released on the internet ahead of time or anything like that? So I think it'll ultimately be a more secure setup. But I do think it would be nice if they did make it so more students could have access to it if they did have a technical glitch or maybe forgot their computer. So we'll see what happens in the coming months with that. Yeah.
And then here's the next question, okay? A lot of colleges, okay, are
mm-hmm.
dropping the SATs, and you certainly know this, Brian, okay? What's going on with the SATs? You're a tutor.
Absolutely,
okay?
Yeah.
You deal with this all the time. What's going on? How's it affect? I'll ask it this way, and it's the same question. How's it affect your business? Okay, you don't have to answer
sure,
that with numbers
sure.
or anything, but I'm just curious. Okay, you know, there's a change afoot, and I don't know how
mm-hmm.
deep it is. Okay, but you do. Talk about that. What's going
yeah.
on?
Yeah, definitely. So just the landscape of testing right now, if you look at most colleges, about 96-97% of colleges in the U.S. will accept the SAT or ACT if you
oh.
turn them in.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's actually, you know, there's an important distinction between. Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's test blind. Those would be the schools that don't look at the scores. And we have about half of them are in California, and then there are some liberal arts schools sprinkled throughout the country where we see it. But just to generalize, you have a lot in California with that, and, you know, sort of throughout the country it's different. Now, if you look at some different states, like Florida, for example, if you want to go to one of the Florida state universities, they require the test. Other schools like MIT, Purdue, Georgetown, some of the military academies, they also require the test. So you need to look at the particular
okay.
school. And it's like, I like to put it this way, where there are a lot of things that are optional when you apply to college. It is optional to have letters of recommendation. It's optional to have a detailed list of extracurricular activities. The college would be more than happy to accept your application fee. But something that else that's been going on is the colleges have become much more selective, especially you look at like Ivy Leagues, the admissions rates are in the single digits now. So you may have something that's quote unquote optional, but is it really? And it'd be almost like if you applied for a loan and you did so without a credit score, they might be happy to look at your application, but it just makes it easier for the college to know that you're ready to do the work, because a lot of the other factors the colleges need to look at, grades, there's been substantial grade inflation in recent years. So what does
mm-hmm.
an A
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. Good point.
We have, you know, the college essay where I've had colleagues where they have been approached like by parents, hey, could you write the essay on behalf of my kid? And fortunately, they said no. But that's a concern where there's not a check against that. So the test gives a way that's kind of a level playing field, and students who may not have access to some of these other opportunities can really show what they can do. So, and another thing with that, a lot of places give some substantial merit scholarships based on test performance. So if you look at some places that give national merit scholarships, you can get a full ride plus a stipend at some places. And if you look at a lot of the Florida schools, they have something called the Bright Future Scholarships, where you can get all your tuition and most of your fees paid for if you get a 1340 on the SAT for this coming year. So, yeah, it can be a great way to show you're ready, just another credential. And then it can help save money in terms of tuition, even getting out of introductory courses as well. It can help with that too.
Oh, yeah. Really? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where were you? Well, where were you when I graduated high school?
Okay.
That would have helped.
If you can save a semester of tuition by getting out of the introductory English, introductory math because of your test score, then that's really helpful. So I tell
well,
you,
only
know, help,
it's
not only
it's helpful for so many reasons, but it's helpful economically right off the bat.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, college.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's not cheap.
It is not. And let me ask you this: with all these options, okay,
mm-hmm.
And maybe you answered this, but I know you gave a number. What percentage of kids? I mean, I don't know if you know this. That go to college are taking the SATs these days. Is it up in the 90s?
That's a great question.
Okay.
Yeah, so what I do know, the College Board is pretty transparent. The colleges themselves have not been as transparent in showing exactly
I'm shocked.
You know, how
I'm
many.
Shocked.
Yeah, so we do know that this past year there were 1.7 million students who took the SAT. So that's a good number.
Wow.
You know, where students – a lot. Yeah, so you have a lot of people that are able to do it. And I think – you really don't have anything to lose by trying it, because in talking to admissions officials, if you can score the 25th percentile or above for students who are admitted, then it's worthwhile to submit your scores, because then they know you're not deciding not to send it in because it didn't go as well. So, it's really like you take it. If it goes well, it can only help you. And then if it doesn't go as well, then that's okay. You know, you don't have to turn in for a lot of the optional schools. Yeah,
I was just going to say there's other things they measure, which is very, very
mm-hmm.
key. Okay,
but this is
pretty good. You know, I have to ask, and again, I know you don't work for the SATs, but if you take the test and you do lousy in it, like I did, okay,
mm-hmm.
the first time, can you say I don't want that submitted to the school? I want to take it again.
Oh yeah,
is it automatically submitted to the school, or do you have the
only?
How's that work?
You have the option. So some students want to show that they're interested in schools by when they sign up for the SAT, they can have it sent to certain colleges if they like. And the
mm-hmm.
College Board will do that free of charge for several schools. And let's say you want to wait and see how it goes, then definitely you can wait on it. And a couple things that can help. Sometimes the colleges will let you verify your scores after you've been admitted. So you can say what it is on your application, and then they just need to check it once you've gotten in, make sure you weren't making it up. And then also something that's a little different nowadays is something called super scoring, where you can take the best score you have from each part of the test and then put that together. So let's say you took the test and you bombed the reading but did really well in the math, and you have that math score set, and you can take it again and focus a little bit more on the reading writing, then put those together. Now, you don't want to just blow off
good.
The other section.
Yeah,
but that creates a little less pressure, more opportunities for students to demonstrate what they can do.
Yeah, my standard joke used to be I got a 1,700 in the boards, but that's if you add up all the times I took it, all the scores.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get a 1,700, by the way. I just want to make sure everybody understands that I did terrible in these things, which brings me to my next question. Okay, I did horrible the first time I took the test. Absolutely horrible. It was mm-hmm. beyond belief. I think I gave it 200 for writing your name, and I think I got a 204. Okay, and I'm not sure I even spelled my name right on that thing. Okay, and my question is, the next time I took it, I was very nervous, okay, and test anxiety. And again, I'm not good on that kind of a test, and I'm not the only one who's not good on that kind of a test. Okay, for kids who have test anxiety, and you must deal with this all the time, okay, as a tutor, what are the tips to help kids understand this stuff?
Oh, sure. So
right. Yeah.
I think, you know, a big thing is you can try to think about what's the worst case scenario here with this. So a lot of students, it can be, okay, what, where would I be able to get in with the scores that I have? How do the other parts of my application look? So sometimes you look at the worst case scenario and realize it's not that bad. I can get in a lot of places. I think also you look at the test scores is such an easy thing to measure. It's like going to the doctor and like, what's your temperature? But getting your temperature doesn't tell us everything about your health. What if you have a perfectly fine temperature?
But the difference is, was it oral or rectal? That's the question.
Oh, no.
Okay. That's the difference in the testing, okay? That's the anxiety question. Is it oral or rectal?
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead. Maybe another example would work. Go ahead, I'm only kidding you.
So
but look, blood pressure. Blood pressure is less invasive, you know? It's
absolutely, yeah. So you have the blood pressure.
Yeah.
And so you have that measure, and that just gives you one piece of the puzzle as to someone's health. And that's what the testing is like. You have the score, but then let's look at other parts of the application. And often students who are anxious about the test tell themselves, well, this is the one thing keeping me from getting into the college. It's just the one sort of black eye that I have. And then it's like, well, everything else is really good, so this isn't as important for you. It would be more important if you didn't have the grades, if you didn't have the extracurriculars. So it's just one part of the application. And I think one of the best things students can do is just make their practice as realistic as possible to try practice tests under the time conditions. In the same way people do with other high-performance endeavors, whether it's for a play or dance or music or sports.
Or sports.
You want to make – yeah, you just, if you're doing your free throws and you get thrown off by a lot of people yelling while you're doing them, then you'd want to practice with that sort of stimuli around you so you're ready for the real thing. So I think making the practice as realistic as possible, and then I think students can start early. Like, don't wait until it's sort of like, I only have one chance to do this. I had a student where he was in the New York area and wasn't able to take the SAT, ACT until right before he needed to apply because everything was shut down because of the pandemic. That was a pretty stressful situation for him. So fortunately, students can take it early, take it often, and plenty of chances to do that, which can help as well. Yeah.
Tell us about your book. Tell us about your book. Let me say the name. It's Barron's Digital SAT Study Guide Premium 2024. Okay. Tell us about your book.
Absolutely. So I think with the new digital SAT, when we have a transition to a new test like this, there aren't a lot of prep materials out there. So there are books put out there are a few tests put out by College Board. But for students who really want to dive in and get tailored practice, want to get help reviewing math concepts, grammar, trying the different question types, I think this will be a really great resource for them. It's what I'm going to use with all my tutoring students and my company we're going to use because it has over 1,800 practice questions with it. So, you know, it's not like someone would need to do all those practice questions, but whatever they need help on, there will be plenty of material and strategies that they can use to focus on those areas where they need the most help. And we have an extensive online resource with the test. So you have it on paper, of course, but then also there's an extensive online resource where students can practice the same sort of format they'd have the actual digital SAT. And made a strategy guide also on the online resources that's aligned with those College Board tests, where let's say you've taken one of the official tests and you had some trouble with it. I have review and strategies that are geared towards the tough questions that you may have seen just in that test. So I'm hopeful students will find it helpful. It's been a lot of work getting it together, a lot of early mornings, late nights getting it together, but I think students will find it useful. Yeah.
Of course they'll find it useful. Are you kidding? I mean, it's important. You know, there's another thing, and we talk to a lot of teachers here when we're doing our show, a lot of counselors, et cetera, et cetera. this is the kind of thing that kids need to know about, and schools need to understand that this is out there. Because if they can help their kids do better on the SATs, it reflects so well, okay, on how the school helps the kids. It's that simple. All right,
yeah.
And that's a good
definitely.
Thing, and you know it's just so important. Good, the book will be out this summer, right? Well, we're in summer. When's
the
book
it's coming out August 1st, and I think it's at a very good price point. Since I mean, if you want to get it on the Kindle, it's only $13. It's like in the
$30s
on paper version, and if you want a free preview, because you know we understand things can be expensive for a lot of students, you can go to barronsedu.com, and we have a free practice test book that you can do. It's called Preview, Digital SAT Preview. So
I'll put a link up here so they can see that. I have it right up here. I'll put the link up here so they can see it. Okay?
So,
this is great. Brian, you're doing good work, man. Get these kids into school.
Thank you.
You know, this is a lot of fun. I really appreciate you being here, man. This is great.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun, So,
well,
thank you a lot.
You believe me, my pleasure. Okay, it was absolutely excellent. You have a great day. Enjoy Columbus.
Okay.
Goodbye, Columbus. As
well,
we like to say.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, it's a good town. Okay,
go.
Thank you. Thanks, Brian.
All right, thanks a lot. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye bye. Wow, bye-bye. What a good guy. Okay, that's terrific.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Oh, you're still there. Okay, and I just hung up on him accidentally. Brian, if you're listening, thank you. Okay, Brian W. Stewart. And by the way, it's BWS. educationconsulting.com, and I'll say it again, www.barronseducc.com/digital-SAT. Okay, but I'll link it up here in just a minute. Okay, we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. Share it. This is good stuff. Barron's Digital SAT Study Guide. Okay, premium by our guest, Brian Stewart. Everybody, thanks for listening. Have a great day.